The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
Portions transcribed. Welcome to TechBridge Radio. I'm Don Webster, your host for today's show. TechBridge is a regional organization focused on growing entrepreneurship, innovation, and the knowledge economy in northeastern Pennsylvania. This edition of the show is brought to you by our two great sponsors, Net Credit Union and Road Scholar Transport. My guest this morning is Mark Gonzalez, and he's the founder of Site 2, a data management and security company located in Clark Summit. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Thanks, Don. Good morning.
And good morning, producer DC Taylor. So typically we try to do these shows and we don't talk about dates and times so that we can have a long run, but it's that time of year. You have your snow shovel in the car?
Yeah. Snow shovel and all my, you know, emergency things. Yes.
Well, we can do some of that today because I asked Mark to come on the show and we're going to talk about cybersecurity and holiday threats. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a dated show from get to go. So might as well be able to do that. So again, Mark, good morning. I'm really glad to have you on the show. How about for those in our audience that don't know you or Site 2, how about we start there and then we'll talk a little bit about cybersecurity?
Sounds great. So thanks for having me. You know, this is a stressful time of the year around the holidays, so I'm glad we were all able to fit into our schedules. But a little bit about me. I'm a local graduate of the University of Scranton, shout out to the U, and have lived in the area for the past 30 years, originally from New York. I'm a transplant, kind of did the opposite of what some people around here do, leave the area to go to other places. So proud of that. Love living in northeastern Pennsylvania. Worked for a couple of Fortune 100 companies out of the gate when I graduated. And about 17 years into my career, I decided to take the plunge and help start my own business with my partner, Mark Magden. And we started Site 2, and we've been running this business now for 16 years.
Terrific.
So exciting stuff.
And Site 2 is into what these days?
So we are, if you go by our industry moniker, we are a managed security services provider. But
what's that mean in English?
So most of our customers just know us as their IT help desk. So we help them to assess and mitigate risk. We deal with everything data management, as you mentioned in the intro. And we basically help organizations who don't have the inside resources and expertise to help them to protect the second most valuable asset. Their employee should be their first most valuable asset, but their second most valuable asset, which is their data.
So, you know, Mark, what I wanted to do is you guys have a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. I would really like to spend the first part of this show this morning talking about cybersecurity and particularly issues associated with the holidays. And then maybe after the break, we can talk about remote work and some of the things that you guys are doing that are new and different and looking future. How about that?
Sounds right up my alley.
All right, great. So let's start with, do you think everybody knows what cybersecurity really means? Let's just sort of put that word out there to start.
Yeah, so cybersecurity is sometimes referred to as the art of protecting the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of data. So confidentiality basically is privacy. Everybody usually hears a lot about privacy in the news when there is a breach of privacy. But the other two elements, integrity and availability, are often not thought of. Integrity is making sure that the data doesn't change, doesn't get compromised. So that's very vital, especially right now when we're talking about vaccines and really important data that's out there, making sure it doesn't get compromised, get changed, that formulas don't get changed. And then availability, which is making sure that the data is not only up and available to you, but available to the people who have access and or authority to get access to that data. So cybercrime is when somebody compromises one of those elements, either privacy, integrity, or availability of data. Uses it for their personal gain financially, or, as you know, there are social activists and there are other elements of foreign adversaries that are using information to steal intellectual property and do all kinds of terrible, evil things to people, unfortunately.
So, you know, earlier this week, Mark, there was the news that government agencies had been attacked across the board. And I thought what was interesting about it and really
timely for this show is the way the attack happened wasn't actually directly at our government entities, but it was through one of their third party providers. And so it isn't that it's always about attacking the big guy. It's also cybersecurity is something that everybody needs to be worried about, right?
It absolutely is. You hear a lot of people take the position, well, you know, why would somebody want to hack me? What do I have that they would be interested in? And, you know, the bad news is that you always have things that they're interested in, whether it be credit card information, whether it be your social security number. You're using devices that can be used not only against you, but against other people, you know, that can be used as what they call a bot or robot to wage attacks against other organizations or other people. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, one of the things when you're talking about the holidays right now, unfortunately, it requires somebody to make a mistake to open up that back door for an attack against someone else, right? So a hacker is always looking for the easiest way in. They're not going to spend days and nights trying to break through a firewall if they don't have to. So what they often use is what's called social engineering. And unfortunately, there's so much social data that's out there today. You know, social media platforms, people often go onto social media platforms and share too much information, which then can be used against them. Let me give you a quick story. So, for example, I have a nephew who's in the military. And, of course, he's stationed all over the country, all over the world. And he's got a very proud mother who posts on social media about him and what a great job he's doing and how proud she is of him. And unfortunately, someone was able to access that information and find out that he was at a military base in a particular location and was able to call his grandfather and say, oh, you know, your grandson was in a fight. He's been arrested. He needs bail money. Please send $2,000 right now to get him out of jail.
Oh, wow.
Now, he's a senior citizen. He loves his grandson. His immediate reaction was, oh, absolutely, whatever I can do. Thankfully, he thought twice about it and ended up calling my nephew's mother and finding out that, number one, he wasn't even stationed at that base anymore, and number two, he was not in jail. But those are the types of things that, because of social media, you inadvertently open the door to someone else potentially becoming a victim.
Right.
And that's the same type of thing as you're talking about, obviously on a bigger scale with our federal government, but same type of thing.
So it's the season to be jolly, but it's also the season for holiday threats. How about, Mark, you know, you and your team are experts in this stuff. How about we sort of talk about some of your experiences, some of your observations as it relates to challenges that people might not realize they're putting out into the world around the holiday season?
Sure. So, I mean, there's two ways to obviously look at it, from the consumer point of view as well as from the retailer point of view. We obviously, as a business-to-business entity, we mostly deal with the retailers and the businesses of the world. So we advise them to do things like making sure that their websites are up to date, right? Making sure that their website has...
Wait, what does that mean? Yeah, what does that mean for... Is your website up to date?
Right. So, you know, when as a consumer, you're taught to go to a website and look for that lock in the top left-hand corner, the green lock that shows that your connection is secure and that it's going to the right website.
Yeah, now, wait a second. Well, so DC's looking at me like, wait, what? What are you talking about? So go slow there. For those that really don't know, what are you talking about with the lock?
Yeah. So when you are on your browser visiting a retailer's website to make a purchase, and you enter in the browser the address of the website that you want to visit, I won't name any in particular, but when you do that, you should receive a little lock icon in that URL, in that bar where you entered the website name, that indicates that the website that you are going to is encrypted and secure. So that's the responsibility of the retailer, to make a website that is encrypted and secure. And even the big companies, big retailers, sometimes let that type of security lapse. So every time that you visit a website to do a transaction, especially a financial transaction, you're not just browsing, you're looking to buy something, make sure that the page that you're entering that credit card number on and your personal information on has that lock in the top corner of that browser. So that's number one. Number two, you've probably heard this before, use different passwords for every website that you visit, so that if one gets hacked, they can't use that against other websites that you visit. A lot of retailers now have started employing what's called multi-factor authentication, which means you not only need a username and a password, but you also need to get a code either via email or on your phone through a text message to verify you are the right person that is logging into that website. So some of those things are very important. The last one that I will recommend for a consumer that's doing a lot of holiday shopping right now is a lot of people are starting to shop on their phones, using the browser on their phone or the social media app on their phone to get to their retailer. But they're neglecting to put antivirus or anti-malware software on that device.
So
for their PC or laptop, but they forgot to do it for their phone.
So this is a new one, because I don't know that many people have malware on their phones, right? I mean, if TechBridge Nation, just ask yourself, do I have antivirus on my phone? And if the answer is no, Mark, what will they do?
Yeah, they should go to their app store and download it. It's, buy one of the credible products. I don't like to make recommendations because, as we learned with a particular antivirus company that is based in Russia, software companies can fall by the wayside as far as their credibility. But go to your app store and download one of the well-known names and make sure that you have it installed. It really isn't very expensive.
I was just going to say,
less than $20 a year, you can get antivirus on your phone.
Okay. And what's it protecting?
It's protecting you and your data. It's making sure that the transaction, we mentioned earlier, confidentiality, integrity, and availability. So it's making sure that the transaction has integrity. It's encrypted, and that you're going to get what you purchased.
I think that recommendation alone is something that we should be putting under the tree for everybody. That's a pretty good one. What else for either consumers or retailers this holiday season? I have a few thoughts too.
Sure. Well, so I mentioned already on the consumer end, look out for those that are the most vulnerable, right? Your seniors, they're often the target of these scams that are out there. Unfortunately, with everything that we've gone through this past year, the COVID scams are endless. Those scams are not only looking for you to potentially apply for a fake loan. If you're in financial distress, hey, we have loans, we can give you money. You'll get those emails advertising that. And some people, if they are desperate and in difficult times, will bite. So look out for those scams from financial offerings. Similarly, there's lots of organizations that are popping up that say, contribute, we will help to find a cure, or we will help your neighbor through some kind of charity. Again, go through the reputable, credible websites, the names that you're familiar with. Do some research before you donate money and make sure that the organization is actually going to be sending that money to those that are in need.
That's a great,
as opposed to their own pockets.
It's a great suggestion. My guest this morning is Mark Gonzalez, and he's one of the co-founders of Site2, and we're talking holiday issues and cybersecurity. Mark, let me ask you a question. This is a big discussion in our house all the time. Public Wi-Fi. How do you feel about public Wi-Fi, as you laugh at my question?
I hate it.
Yeah, but it's so convenient.
Clear.
It's and it's free and it's not hard.
Yeah.
But you hate it. As a cyber expert, you hate it. Is that with a capital H?
Capital H. Don't use it in a hotel. Don't use it in a coffee shop. Don't use it anywhere.
Oh, ever, right? Ever.
Yes, correct. Ever. I don't.
My wife is going to be talking to me about this show for a long time.
Yeah, no. I mean, so how many of us have phone plans that have unlimited data again? There was a period of time where our phones, they were getting metered, and there's still people, I'm sure, that are out there that have phone plans that are metered. But for the most part, your cell phone now has unlimited data again. And so why connect to a Wi-Fi when you can just use either the hotspot on your phone or the data plan that is built into your phone? So it's really not a necessity anymore as it was there for a while.
Any other?
All they can do is really pretty much get yourself in trouble when you're using public Wi-Fi.
Another really good takeaway, so thank you. Any other thoughts for the holiday season? How about gifts, Mark? How about for the techie and all of us? Any suggestions for things that people might want to try and take advantage of? You said cell phone antivirus, and you've said don't use Wi-Fi. How about on the other side? Anything we can put in stockings or under the tree?
This one might be hard to fit under the tree, but You know, with everyone working from home and wanting to have these cool, fancy backdrops now, people are buying green screens for their house. That's kind of the techie gift of the year, so that you can have those video backdrops that are showing either some place in paradise where you'd rather be, instead of the cold winters of the Northeast. Pretend that you're somewhere far, far away, escaping all the woes of the season.
How about things we can put in a stocking?
Things that you can put in a stocking. Let's see. So there's, you can get a VPN license.
Well, sometimes it's some of those things. It's subscriptions. It's gift cards. It's hard drives. Although I don't know how you feel about hard drives, and that's probably a cyber issue, but.
Yeah,
you know, how do you feel about hard drives? Let me just sort of go there for a second.
Well, portable hard drives in business really should be, let me use the word, outlawed. They're basically a mechanism that allows you to steal data from the company or have data stolen from the company. It's called a technique called data exfiltration. So people will use it for convenience, obviously. They'll take, I got to work from home tonight. I'll just drop some files on my thumb drive and I'll take it home. Or they'll use it to, you know, share a presentation with a customer or share some files with a customer. But as they're bouncing around between computer and computer, it's basically a mechanism for spreading a virus, right? We're trying to avoid today shaking hands to avoid passing the COVID virus. And it's the same type of principle. You can pass along computer viruses using a portable hard drive or a USB stick. So there are far more secure mechanisms for sharing information these days, encrypted tunnels, encrypted file sharing products that are out there.
Really good. How about one more quick one before we go to a break? How do you feel about covers for cameras on your computer and stuff like that? Is that a thing?
It is a thing.
Is it really a thing? Like for real?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure our listeners have heard the story of a popular gaming system for the home that the manufacturer was able to turn on the camera when they weren't even playing the system. So things like that can happen. You know, there's even the talk right now of these remote controls that you use for your home cable TV system that, hey, there's a microphone on there. Can it be hacked?
And this
people listening to your conversation.
This is real. This isn't the conspiracy theory stuff, right?
No, I mean, obviously you're talking about some sophistication there, so it's not going to be your neighborhood teenager that is likely going to be doing that, but I can assure you that there are experienced adversaries out there that can.
Yikes. Okay, cameras are going in all the covers for cameras are going in all the stockings this year. All right, Mark, how about we take a breath here for a second, and when we come back, I really want to talk about remote work and what Site2 is doing, and maybe look to the future. How's that sound?
Love to.
All right.
Great.
My guest this morning is Mark Gonzalez. He's a co-founder of Site2. Mark, where do we find Site2?
Well, we have one of the shortest URLs on the internet. It's 5 letters, S as in Sam, I-T-E, the number 2.com, site2.com.
Terrific. I'm Don Webster. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Clarence Baltrasitis, CEO of NetCredit Union. Are you thinking about buying a home or refinancing your house? Yes, NetCredit Union does do mortgages. We have mortgage products from 10 years to 30 years and adjustable rate mortgages as well. Rates are at an all-time low right now, so there's no better time to go acquire a house. As always, stay safe in this environment and thank you for banking on Net.
There's so much more you get when you bank on Net. NetCredit Union, bank on Net.
At Road Scholar Transport, we just don't deliver freight, we deliver your precious assets. We understand the integrity of your entire supply chain is of critical importance, and you can count on us for industry-leading on-time delivery and safety measures. And we also have seen our pink trailers around town in support of breast cancer awareness. We love to serve Northeastern Pennsylvania customers, so contact us at Road Scholar Transport. That's roadscholar.com. R-O-A-D, roadscholar.com.
Welcome back to TechBridge Radio. I'm Don Webster. Our guest this morning is Mark Gonzalez. He's a co-founder of Site2, and we were having fun in the first half talking about cybersecurity, if that's a fun thing to talk about. In the second half of the show, Mark, I sort of like to pivot because, you know, in this environment, there's so much more remote work going on. And DC was telling a funny story before about his remote work with the snow. DC, what are you looking at today for the river?
Well, I can do my my river show, which I am on the river 105 and 103.5.
There we go.
Afternoons.
Thank you, Don.
And early evenings. Thank you, Don. 4 till 8 p.m. But I can do it remotely. I can do it from home. It's a little roundabout kind of thing. I've got to record something and then I've got to email it to myself and do a remote login, you know, log into my email there, pull the file out, load it into our system and go from there. So it's a little roundabout. There are simpler ways to do it, but there's very expensive software out there that can do it. And, you know, sometimes you don't need to spend that much to make good radio.
But I think, you know, what's interesting, Mark, is there's so many more people working remote in this environment, and that's kind of something that you support too, right? Can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, back in March, a lot of people had to make hasty decisions on how they were going to work from home, and it didn't set up for the most secure environment that they could create. People were forced to, in some cases, use their home computer, which is used by multiple members of the family for a variety of things, from surfing the web and gaming and non-work related items, which could compromise their system. They're using their home Wi-Fi network, which quite often members of the family are sharing that password out to the whole world, the whole neighborhood at least. And so it creates scenarios where, you know, work from home is not as secure, obviously, as it was when they were in the office. Now that we've had some time, I think there is an opportunity for companies and individuals to prepare better for what looks like is going to be something that's here to stay.
I think so.
It's a model that allows people to have a better work-life balance in some cases. And so I think that it's going to be here to stay. So hopefully they can do it a little better than they've done it in the past 6 to 8 months.
So tell our audience about the positioning that you guys have taken with your new acquisition. Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, so we acquired a cloud hosting business from a company called Racktop Systems, based in Maryland. They've been a longstanding partner of ours for the past 8 or 9 years, and they're basically a cybersecurity company that pivoted and went away from doing cloud work to doing more software manufacturing. So we were glad to be able to partner with them and acquire that line of business. And so what it means for us is it puts us in a position to provide these work-from-home services in a much more secure and robust way. Allows people to work from home using either, as they call it, BYOD, bring your own device, or work-issued devices, and access company files more securely.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Here's another example. We have this Mark, how many states would you guys say that you have customers in right now?
22.
Exactly 22.
Yeah. Well, we keep track of those things.
Well, but I mean, I think in a lot of people in Northeast Pennsylvania, particularly students, don't really, you know, always know that there are these high tech companies that provide all of these services here with, you know, really good paying jobs, whether it's cybersecurity or data management. So as a result of the acquisition, you were telling me in preparation for the show, you're also starting to look at some new products and services. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so
because I think they're really interesting.
They are, and you know, it's cybersecurity is just becoming due diligence for most business owners, right? You always are protecting your intellectual property, you're protecting your finances, your employees, and your data is just something that is no longer on paper. It's now in digital form, and you have to do some things to protect it. And so, most of that data is in electronic paper form, right? PDF, Word documents, Excel spreadsheets. Those are the type of digital forms of what used to be on paper. And they need to be stored somewhere. So most businesses will have a file server or network storage where they have folders set up where people can save that information. The challenge can be is there's always going to be some kind of either legal situation or somebody gets fired, somebody gets hired, something happens where the business owner is wondering, geez, did that employee have access to this sensitive information? Did that employee share that sensitive information? Did that employee steal that information? So there's really no good way of finding that unless you deploy a lot of expensive software, kind of what DC was alluding to earlier. But now there is. Now there is a product, again, through our partners at Racktop Systems called Brickstore, which can either be the primary storage mechanism for these businesses or can overlay their existing storage mechanism, and it tracks all of those things that I was mentioning earlier. It's basically turnkey security for your file storage system. It can tell you what employees did or didn't do, when they did it, day or night, and can even alert you to when there might be a hack onto your system. It'll notice it and lock that user out of the system.
And again, Mark, this is
some pretty good stuff.
This is the kind of product that all size businesses really should be thinking about taking advantage of. One, because it's going to provide you with insight, and two, the price seems pretty reasonable. So, again, is it fair to say it's almost everybody should be looking at this?
It is, and you know, when you think about cybersecurity, there's usually products that originally came out for the federal government or for big companies. It's the same type of thing here. So Racktop developed this for the federal government, for the Department of Defense, and is now making it available to companies of all sizes, companies that either need to comply with certain regulations like HIPAA, NIST 800-171, and others, FINRA, or just companies, like I mentioned, who know that they have to do basic due diligence to protect not only their internal information, but the information of their customers
and their
employees.
We're checking a lot of boxes. We sort of look to the future as we wind down, Mark. Tell me, what does 2021 look like for Site 2?
So 2021 for Site 2, I mean, there's a lot of industry trends that are coming out. Obviously, 5G, Internet of Things, devices out there, self-driving cars. The thing that we are thinking about in the cybersecurity industry is something called zero trust. So in the past, think of the castle doctrine, right? Your business is a castle, and you put up defenses like firewalls and antivirus to protect from people getting in. But then once you're in as an employee or someone else, it becomes an afterthought. If they're in, it's because I authorized them to get in, and they basically have access to everything. That's kind of the old-fashioned way of thinking of cybersecurity, the castle doctrine. Well, what we're moving to is what's called zero trust. Because data is not just in your office, it's on devices, portable, computing devices, laptops, smartphones. You have to protect it wherever the data resides, and you have to not only try and prevent the outsiders from getting to it potentially, but also the insiders. So that's kind of the trend that's coming down the pike. New software for it. This particular tool that I mentioned to you, Brickstore, is on the leading edge of delivering zero trust.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. I'll look forward to some of the blog issues that you have. How about one more thing? You actually are speaking at Penn State. Do you want to let our audience know a little bit about that?
Yeah, there's going to be more information coming out about that. It's a class on cybersecurity for non-technical individuals. So business owners, business leaders that don't have a great understanding of cybersecurity, it's going to be a two-hour training class in February. February 16th is the date. It's going to be an evening class, off hours, completely virtual, so easy to access. More information will be published on the Penn State website. Shout out to John Drake, Fred Abley, Deb Smarkowski, all the fine folks at Penn State Scranton that have helped make this possible.
Really good. So, you know, interesting you said shout-outs. You can't do this by yourself. How about to the team? What do we got going on there?
Yeah, so I like to think of myself as the document guy, right? I know the who, what, where, when, and why about cybersecurity, documentation guy. And I'm good enough to get into trouble. But, you know, at work, we have the real heroes who know the how to implement security or how to assess security. You know, you got the Keith and Ryan and Mark. We, by the way, have three Marks in our company. So when I say Mark, I'm covering a lot of bases. you know, Amy, Sam, Jeff, the whole team that is just real superheroes in helping our customers every day to solve problems.
So this has been terrific. I've really enjoyed sort of learning some of the insights. Thank you for your takeaways as it relates to the holidays or stuff for under the tree and public Wi-Fi. We'll be talking about that. But also, you know, good luck going forward. I think that new product's really interesting, and people can find you where? What's your email?
My email is mgonzalez@site2.com. We talked about the website, site2.com.
Fantastic. Mark, thanks for spending time with us today, and good luck with everything that you're doing. I want to say thank you to our audience for listening and our sponsors, Rhodes Scholar Transport and Net Credit Union. I'm Don Webster. Peace and strength in the coming week.